SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us on a Wednesday night on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. Good to have everybody with us here this evening. Very busy night. We have a lot going on. We'll do a ton of NFL with Week 14 starting tomorrow with the Packers and the Lions. We'll do a lot of college football playoff. We'll do some NBA Cup, and we'll also, throughout the night, we do have this is really probably the best night of college basketball that we've had this year, and it might be the best night of college basketball. Like, pound for pound, the huge matchups that you have tonight, it really is as good as it gets when you talk about big-time teams. A lot of teams that you're going to be seeing in March squaring off tonight, so we have a bunch of good ones that we will get to as well. Mike Carver with you. Sans Joe. Joe out. That's why Joe was here last night. Joe not here tonight. Joe will be back with me on Friday. Joe will be with the Syndicate crew tomorrow for the Lions and the Packers. So you know how this goes here. Change soon, though, right? Next month. We'll probably be back to normal around these parts. But no Joe tonight with us. You do get me solo, but not really solo, because you get a slice of Burbell as well, with Matias Burbell, who even, it looks to me, now I always have to dim my screen for lighting purposes and things like that, but it seems to me like Matias has come a calling tonight with, is that an Argentina jersey that he has come a calling with tonight? What do you have under the hood there, Matias?
Yes, it is.
Look at
special
that.
Special occasion, I had to wear the World Cup jersey for the show, for the fans. Let's go. The Lionel Messi 2022 World Cup jersey right here with the three stars. The three stars.
Look at that.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing of three stars.
You That's know, nice. I had the two That's for a nice
long time.
Good job by you, Matias. That's nice. And you got that, obviously, after they won, when they won the World Cup.
Absolutely.
Of course,
had to get the third
Qatar,
star on there.
Where they had that one. And that reminds me, did you see that they're going... they're going back to the desert in 2034. They're going to Saudi Arabia for another Winter World Cup in the sand.
Money, baby. Money talks.
Oh, man, you ain't kidding. Money talks is right. Go play the World Cup in Saudi Arabia. Well, yeah, but you know what? Other than them playing in a completely different time of the year, it wasn't awful. That Winter World Cup, I didn't have that much of a problem. I thought it was pretty cool for the most part. You had some big games, that Black Friday game, the United States England game. You had, you know, and the games were early enough in the morning that it didn't run into the football. So I thought it was pretty good, them going with the Winter World Cup. But they could have waited a little while longer before coming back there, that's for sure. So as I mentioned, so Matias is here tonight, and I saw there is a UFC card this week, so we'll have to get some picks later. Is this actually a UFC 310? So this must be a pay-per-view this week then, right? This is actually supposed to be a good card, even though I couldn't pick any of these guys out of a lineup. This is actually supposed to be a good card this week.
It's a good card, Mike. It's not a spectacular card. But, you know, there's some new blood, Kai Asakura. We get to see him fight in the UFC for the first time, which is a pretty badass thing. He has punch power, but I still think Pantoja gets the job done. There's a lot of big fights.
Where's his fight at? Where are they having this? Where's his fight this week? I'm looking.
You know
right
what, Mike? I'm not 100% right now.
I know you're not.
Exactly
you don't keep track of where the fights are. I'm very concerned. I always worry about where the fights are. I'll find that out by the time MGM Grand Garden Arena.
It's in Vegas.
It's in Vegas. They're fighting in Vegas at the
team. Yeah, it's in Vegas.
So that's where they're going to be.
Good.
So we will we'll get some picks from Matias later on when it comes to the UFC 310, which is going to go on this week. But as I mentioned, it's a very big college basketball night. There's a ton of games. Now, UConn's playing Baylor, Big 12 against Big East. They're kind of doing it the whole week, whereas the SEC-ACC challenge is really just is actually only last night and tonight. And the SEC completely smashed them last night, won 9 out of the 10 games, and they've got some big matchups tonight. But I'll go to UConn first. They're up to 52-50 with that. They're at the under 12 timeout, it looks like, in stores. UConn, of course, got smashed in Maui last week, all three games at the Maui Invitational. They've beaten absolutely no one good this year. Go look and see who UConn's won against. And they will try to get their first legitimate victory of the year against Baylor here tonight, and they are only up a deuce with, like we said, now under 11 to go. So they are back out on the court. Elsewhere, we have this Alabama-North Carolina game, also ACC-SEC challenge, with Bama up 9 at the half. 43-34 is where that game is. Alabama minus 5.5 live, 169.5 is the live total. Remember, they played that great game in the West Regional last year in the NCAA tournament. They get back together tonight. Very good game. I liked Bama in the game, and things are looking good so far for us on that front. The heavy hitter game is going to be this Duke-Auburn game as well. That is going to tip after this, so it's probably a little bit after 9:15, 9:30, I think is where they call it. 9:15 is what they have here. Duke minus 3.5 with a 146.5 total. You also have going for you tonight in college hoops. Give me one second. I moved it off to go and look at where the UFC fight was. Florida up 39-35 on Virginia at the half. Marquette and Iowa State just started. They're two top six teams in the country. Big 12, Big East battle. Hey, how is that game not on anywhere? How is that game not on? I know there's a ton of huge games tonight, but like we couldn't even get that on the Deuce or something. I guess that's Big East and Big 12 aren't tied in really with the big ESPN anymore. But there, that game's on ESPN Plus if you'd like to go find Marquette and Iowa State. I'm surprised that game's not on somewhere else. That's because FS1 has Kansas and Creighton coming up after the UConn game. So Kansas and Creighton, Kansas minus 3.5 on the road in Omaha. Pitt is at Mississippi State. That's a little bit about an hour from now. And there is Big Ten games tonight, as the Big Ten now is going to play 600 regular season conference games. Maryland completely smashing Ohio State, 71-40. They're at the under 8 in the second half, so it's almost over for the Buckeyes. Michigan State and Minnesota starts in about 20 minutes. And then Oregon and USC. Oregon now 8-0, ranked 12th in the country, as they go to see the Trojans tonight. Oregon minus 5.5 on the road. That's a late-night Big Ten tip at 10:30 East. So that's why the Big Ten loves us. That's a triple header on the Big Ten Network. Three games for three time zones, and that's why they did all this. That's why there's 100 teams in the Big Ten now, so that they can have nights like this in college basketball. And pretty soon, they start slow like this and keep it local, and then they'll make all these teams fly all over the country the whole month of January and February for all these basketball games. It's different than football. Football, one trip, one game, back and forth. A lot different when you got to play a bunch of these college hoop games and you're going to go all over the country. But I'm sure they fly them on nice charter jets, so they'll be okay. So we have tons of college rack. There is NBA tonight as well. Celtics are up 15 on the Pistons at the end of the first quarter. Pistons got whacked by Milwaukee last night. We'll see how they fare tonight. The Nets smashing the Pacers 32-19. Lots of time left there. Heat up 42-29 on the Lakers. Magic up 34-22 on the Sixers. Hawks, Bucks tipping right now. And the Timberwolves and the Clippers. Matias's Clippers at the Intuit Dome tonight. Put a play in on Ant Edwards. Used him for king of the court tonight. And we'll see if Ant can go off against the Clips at the Dome. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Just getting going on a Wednesday night on the grid. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lee from Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. There is hockey tonight. Predators are up 1-0 on the Leafs. I already heard Matthias grumbling about that, that I guess he's on the Leafs tonight, and they came out bad against the Predators. So, you know, you could always double dip and go in for more, down a goal at the end of one, and you'll get some plus money. You might as well double the meat. Just get right back in for a little bit more, Matthias. Might as well. Go ahead. No?
No. Absolutely not. I'm scared of it. They came out soft. First goal off the glass comes up over the goaltender. Wall has no idea where the puck is. Nashville gets an easy goal, goes up 1-0. Man, but I got to say, they missed like four other scoring opportunities there in the first 5 minutes of the game. So soft coming out for them. And I'm pissed off that I'm on him because I've been hot with the hockey, but not tonight. And you know what? I'm against you with Creighton and Kansas. I like Kansas.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really get to say necessarily who I like. I do like Creighton at home tonight. I feel like the number's a little too short. Creighton's a good team. Obviously, Kalkbrenner, very good player. Kansas is so great. Why aren't they should be favored by more in this game, right? I think the line says Creighton here. So I'm going to take Creighton with the 3.5. Maybe I want to take the money line too. I don't know. You want to take the money line also? Matthias is in on Kansas. So I'm not going to be doing that.
I think Kansas has a good team, man. Yeah, I think they have a good team.
Kansas always has a good team. They always have a good team. But I think this is a night going into a tough spot in Omaha against the Jays, the Blue Jays. It's a very, very tough place to play. You know they get up for whenever Kansas comes to town over there. So that's going to be a good one tonight in the Big East, Big 12. Boston and Chicago tied at 1, first period there. I thought that number was a little short, too. I know the Bruins suck this year, but the Blackhawks are worse. And that's 1-1.
The Bruins came through for me last night. Bruins came through last night in overtime. Win
over the Wings.
From behind the third period.
They came from behind in the third. Vegas and Anaheim also at the Duck Pond. So your Ducks tonight have Vegas who beat the Oilers. Yeah, you know, same thing. It feels like that's at the Knights would normally be like, you know, between -2, -250 on the road in Anaheim. But Anaheim's played a little bit better this year, I guess. And it's the second night of a back-to-back for the Knights. So, I get it. I like the under in that game, actually. I like the under in the Knights and the Ducks for that. So, there you go. You got a couple hockey games.
Big game at the Crypto as well. Too. Stars and Kings.
Yes, Stars, Kings, I mentioned. And the Stars, a short road favorite after the 2-1 win in Utah the other night. They go to the Crypto with the 600 statues outside as they will get ready. They got a lot of statues there. And they're adding
They're never going to stop, Mike. They're never going to stop.
I mean, they even go down the walls, like when you're walking up. Like, they can't even put any more, like, on the grounds. Like, they put the King ones all, like, on a wall out there walking through that path as you're walking into the Crypto. So you have that. Speaking of L.A.
Did you hear about the new one? Did you hear about the new one, Mike? They're giving good old Pat Riley a statue outside.
They're giving Riley. I just said that Riley's getting one out there, too. But Riley's probably going to get a... You know, he's going to be near that, like, by all the Laker ones. See, the Laker ones obviously get prime position. Like the one of Shaq dunking, the Kobe one. They have all the Laker ones out in the courtyard. The Kings get, like, slapped on a wall walking up to the arena. You know, they don't get any of the prime real estate out there right outside the doors like the Lakers do. And deservedly so. Lakers have a lot more championships than the Kings do, so... Funny, there wasn't a lot of Clipper stuff out there. And obviously now there never will be any more Clipper stuff out there since they went to the Dome. But even when the Clippers were there, I didn't see any statues for the Clippers hanging around outside. Now, did you tell me you went to the Dome the other night for the first time? What was that, the Nuggets-Clippers game you went to? That was a good game,
yeah,
too. Was that the night?
I went to Nuggets-Clippers.
That was the night Harden had
great.
37, right? Harden had 37. Joker had a triple-double.
Everybody was on fire. It was fantastic. Jokic, I think, even got a triple-double or came close to it. Maybe once.
He did have a
triple-double.
One assist
shy, maybe.
That was
killing
Sunday
it.
Night.
And you know what?
Sunday night.
Yeah, it was. And it was nuts because I didn't think the Clippers were going to win that game in the third quarter. I thought they were going to lose the game in the third quarter when the Nuggets went up like 8 and they were getting in rhythm. And all of a sudden, Clippers make this great comeback, but they're playing team ball, Mike. Everybody's scoring. Even Mo Bamba scoring three-pointers, Mike. It was wild, and these guys are getting better. Amir Coffey, Jordan Miller, you know, there's so many of these young guys who are stepping up right now, and they want the ball, and their confidence is growing. And you could tell that game against the Blazers last night, the Clippers were -8 favorite, obviously, at home. They smoked them, Mike. It was a plus 20-point game. Everybody scoring the basketball. It's a fun team to watch, and it's not something we expected, right? It's crazy. And it's fun because you don't have two guys trying to score the basketball, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Ball's moving around. Guys are scoring from every position. Everybody's smiling. People are getting pissed off when they're not playing great defense. Clippers top four defense in the league right now. They're a scrappy bunch.
Yeah, I like them tonight. They're home dogs again against Minnesota. I like them tonight. And I know I took Anthony Edwards for the king of the court on DK tonight for two reasons. One, I missed the 7 o'clock games, so I couldn't put anybody in for that. So I didn't have a lot of options. It's a limited Wednesday night, and Wednesday's the only night that they do that king of the court. So I took Ant just because
we got close with Wembanyama last time.
Yeah, Wembanyama was tough, man. I really thought we were going to get that. I thought we were going to get Wembanyama, but that was the night that Giannis had like 80 that night. Giannis had an enormous night and stole it from us. But I'm thinking that Ant's going to have a good game tonight in L.A. At the Dome. Tell me about
this,
the Dome.
Because they
actually
played. They
I've
just
only
played.
Got a minute left. When I come back, you can tell me about the Dome. They just played in mini, right?
The Clippers just played. They played on Friday. And you know what? The Clippers let it slip away. They let it slip away. Mm-hmm. They were winning at the end of that game, playing good basketball. And then they blew it in the final moments of the game. And they decided not to foul with under 30 seconds to go. A ridiculous move right there, but they let it slip. I'm excited for the rematch tonight, Mike. The Wolves and the Clippers really went the other night.
I hope that the Clippers win and Anthony Edwards scores 50, though, for the Timberwolves. That would be the best thing for me. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Series XM 159. Back in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Good to have you with us here. On a Wednesday night on the grid, Carver sans Lisi, Joe out. He'll be back on Friday. We'll do all the picks for the rest of the picks for the championship games on Saturday and NFL Week 14, which we will discuss later as well. Quickly, because I have the short segment here, Matias, tell me a little bit about this Intuit Dome, because obviously it's the newest building in the NBA, just opened this year. Clippers finally get their own place. They're not tenants anymore. Under the Laker rule. And Ballmer's obviously got a lot of money, and it sounds to me like he splurged heavily building this Intuit Dome out there in Inglewood, Matias. Well, you were there on Sunday night for the first time. How is the Intuit Dome?
It was good, Mike, for the most part. You know, getting in was kind of a pain at first because everybody needs to have the app in order to get in. The Clipper app with a little mascot that they have. It's frustrating.
That'll work out as they get. There's still a month.
It will.
That people will figure that out.
That's the problem. They've been having problems since opening night. So
you can't have that. That should be that of brand new building. You should be able to get everybody in there as fast as possible. There should not be that's technology. No, there should not be any wait like it. Like, we used to wait in the old buildings, and I always bring up the old barn, the Nassau Coliseum, because it was the biggest dump, and the Islands played it. I mean, you had to wait outside for, like, 40 minutes for them to get you, scan your ticket and get you in the place. Like, today, any new building today, that should not be the case whatsoever. Like, I'll say, Islanders, UBS, which is, I believe, still the newest building in the NHL. Maybe there's been one building that's open since, but it is... I mean, you walk right into place. I mean, it's great. They've got it all figured out in terms of ticket taking.
Look, they have the facial recognition thing. So, like, you're supposed to do the app. I did the whole app when I got the tickets. So I had my tickets perfect, and I had two of them. I was taking my wife. She got the app. I tried transferring it to her at the spot. It didn't work. So I had to go talk to an attendant because they did get my facial recognition. They checked us through and everything, but we couldn't get into the arena. And I was asking, how can I transfer the ticket? It's not letting me. And they were telling me they've been having issues with that since game one. So they gave her a wristband instead where she could scan it, but her face pops up. So a bunch of people are getting wristbands and stuff like that. And the thing is, once you get into the arena, you do. But then the facial recognition doesn't end there, Mike. You know, you get into the arena and it's like a roller coaster ride in order to get into to get food and to get drinks. They have to facial recognize your face, and then the door opens. You know, it opens so you can get in there and get your stuff. And then once you grab it, you don't like your information is saved on your phone on the app. So therefore, you just walk out with anything that you want, and the facial recognition sees what you're getting and it'll charge you. So you'll get your bill later when your phone rings. And then, you know, hopefully they got it all right for me. I was a little worried at first because I picked up some things to see, you know, is it good? Does this hot dog look good? And I put it back if it didn't. So I was thinking, you know, maybe it charged me for everything I touched, but no, it was good. It was good.
How is the big wall they all talk about? The big wall on the one side.
Intimidating.
How is that?
It's intimidating.
Yeah.
It is. It's different for sure. It feels like more of a college atmosphere because they do have real fans sitting there. And they have to, in order to sit there, you have to take a Clipper test.
They have real fans. You have to take a real test to be able to sit in the wall.
You got to take a Clipper test. And you know what? All those fans are walking around the whole arena before the game, and they're singing songs, and they're singing chants, and they're telling people to join. I'm thinking to myself, are the Clippers paying these people? But no, they're all into it, Mike, and they're into it the whole entire game. It's a fun atmosphere. The light show is pretty great too. With the Oculus that they have on the court.
Wow.
They have the big Oculus, kind of like the Rams do at SoFi. So they have a great little entrance with the players. You know how the Las Vegas Golden Knights had that great entrance when they first got into the league, and it's like it was a show, right? Clippers are kind of doing the same thing to a degree. It's more of a show. It's an attraction to go to the game. And there's also a gaming little system to the right of your seat, Mike, where you get to interact as a fan with the rest of the arena. So you're not just sitting there watching the game.
Yeah, Ballmer spared no expense, that's for sure, over there at the Indian Carver leads the Sports Grid Radio Series XM 159. We're back here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our release is SportsGrid Radio Sirius XM 159. Good to have you with us on a Wednesday night on the grid. They're getting towards the end of the first half in Boston. Celtics lead the Pistons 68-53. Of course, the Pistons played last night, their last NBA Cup game. Had a chance to advance, too, but they got smashed. The Celtics have no Tatum tonight. Not that it matters, because they shoot like 600 threes a game, and they have so many guys that make threes. White's got three. Porzingis is actually playing tonight. Horford's got two. Hauser's got two. So they're shooting the lights out, as they usually do, and they're probably going to smoke the Celtics. The Nets are still up 14 on the Pacers. They got about a minute left in the first half in Brooklyn. Heat are up 15 now on the Lakers with about 3 minutes to go in the first half in Miami. Magic are up 4 in Philly, 3 minutes to go in the first half. And the Bucks lead the Hawks 28-25. Very early going there. Giannis with 10, 4-4 already. So this guy, this guy's a total pig on these King of the Court nights, this Giannis. He really is. Can they take the Bucks off of a Wednesday night? I actually don't think they played last Wednesday. Get this guy off of Wednesdays. He's already got 18, and then first quarter's not even over yet. I just can't have it. Now, he played last night. Maybe they can start blowing him out, and he won't play the second half. But I doubt that that's going to go that way for me. Meanwhile, really good one in stores. In fact, I'm going to flip that on now. 64-62, UConn leads Baylor in the Big 12, Big East battle. Alabama's up 55-42 on North Carolina, so I'm probably going to go away from that. Florida up 7 on Virginia. Iowa State's opened up a 12-point lead on Marquette in Ames, 29-17. And everything else coming up in a little bit, including the Kansas-Creighton game. and the Auburn-Duke game, which are some of the heavy hitter games for this evening. All right. College football, of course, me and Joe last night did all the yelling and screaming. We actually didn't do much yelling and screaming. I heard everybody today doing a lot of yelling and screaming as everybody still digests the committee selections last night. The one thing I did see in terms of yelling and screaming was I saw Brett Yormark of the Big 12. Of course, he's the commissioner of the Big 12. And he had a press conference today, I guess probably in ahead of the Big 12 title game, which is coming up on Saturday, of course. And Yormark had quite a few things to say when it comes to the college football playoff and their committee more specifically. Yormark today, the college football playoff committee continues to show time and time again that they are paying attention to logos versus resumes. Look out. Strength of schedule should matter. Wins against Power Four opponents should matter. It actually gets a little bit better for Yormark. Where's the good one he had about the group of five teams? Where is it? 74% of the Big 12's wins were against power opponents this year. Meanwhile, the group of five is 11-80 versus Power Four teams this season. And in no way should a group of five champion be ranked above our champion. I agree with Brett 1,000%. I have said this to Joe for weeks. I've said it to Pharrell for weeks. I've said it to anyone who wants to listen. It's actually nonsense that Boise State, that they keep giving them a bye every week in those dopey rankings. I still believe that at the end of the day, even whether Yormark said this today or not, and could his words resonate with those dopey 12 people on that committee? They might. But I still believe that whoever wins that Big 12 title game on Saturday, I think it's going to be Arizona State, I still believe that they will have the fourth bye. I just do. I don't. Yormark said is right. It's just there's no comparison to what these Big 12 teams play all year long. I don't care if they have three losses. It's a competitive league. All right? Is there a great team like an Alabama league? No, there is not. They're a great team, you know, like a Big Ten? No, there is not. But it is a very competitive league. Most of the teams in that league, you know what they would do? They'd beat Boise. And Yormark's right. It is nonsense if they give Boise or whoever. Now, if Boise loses, it's out of it. If UNLV beats Boise on Friday night, it won't matter. The Big 12 team's going to absolutely beat them. But even if Boise wins, the winner of that Arizona State-Iowa State game should be ahead of them. They just played better competition all year. They hold Boise up on the ladder because they played Oregon tough early in the season, way back in September. They had a close game with Oregon. All right, Oregon had close games with everybody in September. It doesn't carry enough weight for me. Play in Nevada, play in Hawaii, play, like, look at this schedule. Look at who they beat this. Georgia Southern, Portland State, Washington State, Utah State, Hawaii, UNLV, San Diego State, Nevada, San Jose State, Wyoming, Oregon State. Beavers suck this year. Like, you just can't make the comparison. Like, the teams that the Big 12 plays, it's just a tougher conference. I just want to take Arizona State, for example. I mean, BYU, Kansas State. Man, they went on the road to the Little Apple and beat Kansas State. And I know Kansas State wasn't as good as people, you know, thought they were going to be this year. I get all that. And how they finished, where they finished, 8-3 or 8-4, whatever they finished at. You know, they beat Utah. Utah wasn't as good. You see, the problem is the pillars of the Big 12, the teams that everyone expected to be great this year weren't great. They expected Utah to be a great team. They weren't great. They expected Kansas State to be a great team. They weren't great. So the rest of the conference gets dragged down. For that, I mean, Arizona State, a great year, 10-2. They were picked to finish last. in the conference. Iowa State 10-2. Did I love Iowa State's losses down the stretch? No. Did I love them losing to Kansas? No. Love them losing at home to Texas Tech? Texas Tech was a good team. It doesn't make a lot of sense with a lot of these. And the more you dive into it and hear more arguments about Alabama versus Miami and Ole Miss and South Carolina, I've said it. I don't understand people wanting South Carolina in so bad. And I know Joe defended them last night, too. South Carolina does not have the quality win. They just don't. And they have three losses. These teams with the three losses and quality wins, they just don't. And I don't think the ACC should only have one team. It's you're getting to the point. If you're just going to put four Big Ten and four SEC, and it's almost like they're saying it's, you know, that's the minimum. We have to have four Big Ten. We have to have four SEC. That's what they're kind of making it seem like with what they're doing this year. And here's one more thing that they should change next year. And it's the first year, and I hope they have some room to tinker and tinker about with all this stuff. Stop with the buys for these teams. Give the buys to the four teams that are the top four teams ranked. I don't care if they win conferences or not. Give them the buys. You can't give the buys to the top four conference champions. You can't have SMU. You can't have potentially SMU and Arizona State, or SMU and Boise having buys over all these other teams that are much better than them and played much better, you know, better resumes than them all year. It's nonsense. Should they get automatic bids to the 12? Absolutely. They all should have automatic bids to conference. Automatic buys? Silly. Unnecessary. Get rid of it. Harvard Leafs, we're back on the grid right after.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Barbara Lee, SportsGrid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Great to have everybody with us here on a Wednesday night on the grid. Carver Sands, but we do have a slice of Rebel with us as well as we move along here through the night. Alabama now up 15, UConn up 4 with just over a minute to go in that game in stores. So we'll see if they can close the door on that. I am going to flip over to that now. I said I was going to do that before, but I get so distracted with other things that sometimes that's what happens to me. So I will now get myself set up because I want to watch that Kansas-Creighton game, especially now that I know that me and Matias are on opposite sides of the Kansas-Creighton game. So I want to make sure that I have that one locked and loaded here for this evening. A few other things with this playoff. So now I've said my piece. It is what it is. And we love crying about this stuff. And it's the same thing. We cried when there was 4, and we're crying when there's 12. You'd cry if there was 16. You'd cry if there was 20. You'd cry if there was 24. You'd cry. Hell, we cry about 68 in basketball. We cry that teams should still get in. So there's always going to be that debate aspect of it. But I think what gets people a little tired is that it's always, it seems like it's always the same teams that kind of get the advantage, right? It's always the Alabamas. It's always the Ohio State. So how the hell is Ohio State still going to have a home game after they lost to Michigan? I don't disagree they should not be in the playoff. How the hell should they get a home game? It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me in the long run of things. But that's how it goes here. Now, where is the Fox app? We need to get, there it is. There we go. Get Fox up here for the end of this UConn game. So this week, all these championship games, we gave you some of the numbers for Friday night last night. Here's where the rest of these games are at. These are for Saturday. And I think the game with the most gas is this Iowa State-Arizona State game. I love this game. It's in Dallas at noon East. Arizona State -2.5 right now, 49.5 the total. You know, I think that, you know, pound for pound, first man on the roster to last man on the roster, I think Iowa State's probably better than Arizona State. But Arizona State's just got that. They got that little extra right now. They got a little extra to them. The story, this guy Dillingham is great. The kids are playing inspired football. Like I think that they finish it. I think they finish the story. They win the Big 12. They deserve a bye. I don't know over the whoever the group of five is, Boise or whoever, but I don't think they'll get one if Boise wins. And they'll probably get smashed by whoever they play, whether that's the first round opposite site or even the bye, and they play in a bowl game against whoever. They'll get smashed in their first game. That's unfortunate. And people say, well, that's why do you want them in? They're going to get smashed. They're not good enough. But they still deserve to be there. They still deserve to be there. But Iowa State's a good football team. They're a very good football team. And we'll see. I think that Iowa State would handle better against some of the heavies if they got through. I think that they would give some of the heavies a better game than Arizona State would. But we shall see how that goes. Georgia and Texas. I said to Joe last night, I was very surprised that Texas was favored because Georgia's already smashed them once, and the game's in Atlanta. The game's basically a home game for Georgia. 49.5 is the total. You know, Texas worries me. They've worried me all year since they put Ewers back in. And I've been waiting for it to burn Sark, and I think that this is the week it's going to happen to him. I think, you know, and they're still going to make the playoff, but I think Georgia's going to beat him again, and Georgia's going to win the SEC, and Texas will fall back, probably get themselves a home game. They'll probably flip with Georgia. They'll be the team hosting Indiana. Georgia will be the team that gets the bye. I do like the over in that game, too. I think they will get some points in Atlanta. The SEC title game last few years has absolutely trended to that direction. Clemson and SMU, and the game's in Charlotte, mind you. Now, the game's in Charlotte, so it'll be a heavy Clemson crowd that you are going to have down there. SMU's -2.5. Now, this will be the game that will disrupt the apple cart because it's gonna piss even more people off. If SMU loses and they drop them below Alabama and still keep and give Clemson the auto, and Clemson doesn't have to give them, they get the auto if they win the game Saturday night. It's going to get people even more riled up. And that guy, Jim Phillips, he might go, I don't even know what he would do if he doesn't get a second team if Clemson wins on Saturday night. Because from where SMU is right now, which is 8, it's almost like they put them there knowing that if they lose, it seems like 5 spots has been the kind of the number where they've been dropping teams. It's almost like if they know we could drop them 5 spots, have them behind Alabama, and they won't make it. That's kind of, and they will do it too. They'll do it. They'll knock SMU right out of there if Clemson ends up beating them on. And I think Clemson's going to win the game, by the way. I think Clemson will beat SMU in Charlotte on Saturday night, and it'll bother everybody. Clemson's going to make the playoff, and where they get seated should be interesting. And Penn State, Oregon, I will never trust Penn State to win any game against an actual good team until I see it happen. So I will not. I will lay it with Oregon. I don't care the game's in Indy and tougher for Oregon fans to get there and blah. Should they? I've seen a lot of that this week. You know, now that they've Big Ten's expanded, can't play that championship game in Indy anymore. Well, you're probably right about that. They'll eventually play it probably in Vegas where everything should be anyway. I saw somebody suggest Chicago today, which also would be right in the middle, right? I'd be right in the middle. I mean, they now run from Pasadena all the way to Piscataway in New Jersey. So why not get in Chicago? It's right in the middle of the country. Have the Big Ten title game there. Probably when the Bears build that new stadium away from town, they'll probably hold the Big Ten title game. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. And to put a button on this, and then we'll do some NFL at the top of the next hour. I said to Joe last night, how many teams can legitimately win this thing that are left? I guess Oregon, Texas, Georgia. He said Notre Dame. I'm very, as you know, like the Bills, the same thing with Notre Dame. I'm very pessimistic when it comes to my teams. I think that Notre Dame, there are definitely teams that Notre Dame's going to be able to beat in this college football playoff. But I also know there's teams that I don't think they would beat in it. So I think the draw that the Irish get on Sunday.
It's a tough team, man. I bet them this past weekend. I like the Irish. Two-way football team, baby. Both sides.
I like the, obviously I love the Irish. But the problem is that the path is what's going to matter. Like I saw it. Like if it's what it was last night and Alabama's going to Notre Dame, I know how that's going to go. And I know everybody will do the whole, all these SEC teams are going to come north in the cold in late December. It's going to be no good for them. I am not signing up for that. Alabama could absolutely walk into South Bend and beat the Irish. Now, if the Irish, if they drop Penn State back a little bit, if they lose to Oregon and get smashed, and the Irish end up in that 5 spot, which is without question the cushy spot, because you're going to play the 12 seed, which is going to be either the Group of 5 or Arizona State or Iowa State, whoever. And then you're going to play the lowest seeded bye team, which is going to be the same thing, the opposite side, either Arizona State, Boise, maybe Clemson if they win. So that 5 is cushy. If Notre Dame gets in that slot, they got a chance to win a bunch of games in this college football playoff. They end up playing Alabama the first game. I don't know. I think they'd beat Ohio State, but it's clear that Ohio State's going to get a home game too. So I think
Who do you think has the best defense out of all the teams?
I tell you, I feel that the Texas defense is a little, they don't get as much credit as they should. I think the Texas defense is actually pretty good. I don't think Oregon's been tested enough this year for me to put the Oregon defense in there. I think Georgia's D is always really solid. They obviously did not play well against Georgia Tech last week. And I think the Irish, I think you'd have to say the same thing about the Irish as Oregon. I don't know if their D's been legitimately tested this year. They look great, but I don't know how they'd look against a team with a really good offense. Like, that's why I wouldn't be nervous if Notre Dame played Ohio State. Because I've watched now, Will Howard stinks. You just heard, I said it last night, I'll say it again. He stinks. And I think that if they went into the South Bend, they would absolutely beat them. Irish would beat Ohio State if they played him.
I think Ohio State has a great defense, though. Ohio State's defense is killer, though. They have a great defense.
So you think that the Ohio State defense can carry them home? You think that their defense can carry them?
I think that it could make the and their defense is blitzes, and they're fast. They get to the quarterback. Guys who haven't seen that Ohio State defense, they're flying around. On all levels. You know, that defense is something that you don't want to mess with, I think. Oregon put up a lot of points on that Ohio State defense. So, obviously, Oregon, to me, is the favorite to win. I'd go with Oregon no matter what. I think, you know, Dylan Gabriel's been slinging that ball around. It's his last year as well. I just think it's their time. Yeah, and their coach has been killer, man. His motivational speeches before the game and smashing of the helmets, he's got those guys revved up hardcore over there at Oregon, man. But Ohio State's defense is... I think the best out of all of them.
All right, I'll put them in. Outside of that top four on the odds board, Oregon, Texas, Ohio State, Georgia. And I don't think Ohio State, I don't think they're going to win because I think that their quarterback sucks and their offense is broken. Outside of that, I think Notre Dame can win at 8-1, depending on the draw. I think Alabama can win if they get in. They're 13 right now. The only other team I would take a shot with that's maybe a long shot is Tennessee, actually, at 20. I think Tennessee can win a couple games, and depending on how things break, I would not stun me if Tennessee's playing in the semifinals in this college football playoff. They got a good quarterback and a good defense as well. Carver and Lee from Sports Grid Radio. We're back on the grid right after this.